And to continue our discussion into the upcoming June election, we have with us Bill McEwen of GV Wire. Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
Looking at state politics, the gubernatorial race is one of the most interesting out there. Of course, Gavin Newsom, the Democratic frontrunner, had been laying low, not necessarily appearing in debates, cementing his leadership status. Two Republicans in the contest, and then a field of Democrats. One of them, though, got a rather unexpected endorsement. Tell me about this prominent Republican lining up behind Antonio Villaraigosa and why it's significant.
So it happened Friday, and former Fresno Mayor Alan Autry came out and endorsed Villaraigosa for governor. And Alan's thinking is similar to some Republicans in the state in that he believes that a Republican does not have a chance to win the governorship just because of registration numbers, fundraising advantage by the Democrats in this state, big union backing for Gavin Newsom. And so the calculus is a Democrat's going to win. Who is the Democrat that best reflects my own values? Who will be the more conservative leader? To put a label on it, you could say Villaraigosa is a blue dog Democrat, a conservative Democrat. So that's the thinking. And Villaraigosa has received millions upon millions of dollars, which is why you're seeing all these ads on TV boosting his candidacy, money spent either by his own campaign or by independent groups in support of him. But and what has happened is the same day that Autry backs Villaraigosa, he gets a little bit of attraction, some headlines around the state for that backing. On that same day, President Trump tweets that he's backing John Cox, the Republican, for governor. And as you know, Joe, John Cox in the polls leads Villaraigosa. And I think this Trump endorsement is going to boost his stock even more. And I think it's going to be very hard for Villaraigosa, despite all the money that he's raised, to be able to finish in that second spot in the jungle primary, as they call it.
A year ago, all the talk was Newsom, Villaraigosa, and then the rest of the field behind, quite a bit behind in discussion, especially in this new top two primary environment. Is it a surprise that Villaraigosa is not performing better? And is it a surprise that John Cox is performing as well as he is in a state that is increasingly, Republicans are increasingly seeing their voting registration numbers decline?
Well, Republicans are loyal to the party. They're going to want to pick a candidate. And thus far, they've made it fairly clear that they prefer Cox over Travis Allen. And I think part of that, I'm not so sure it's about personality or issues. John Cox is a wealthy San Diego businessman, and he's been able to self-fund his campaign and get his message out there. And he's constantly been on the road. You know, he goes to every city. You know, he just shows up and introduces himself to people. Travis Allen's campaign has been really hampered by the lack of funding, and he's been unable to get big donors to come in and support his candidacy. And with this Trump endorsement, I see Travis Allen losing some support and all of that support going to John Cox.
Speaking of being on the road, Villaraigosa has been on the road and here in the Valley a lot. Is that a winning strategy for him? It's seemingly looking at the demographic numbers, he would play very well in Southern California, the large Latino Democratic base there. Seems like that would be his stronghold, but he's spent a lot of time in Central California. Surprise, or is that just what it takes to get a few percentage points from centrist voters?
So that was all part of Villaraigosa's calculation, and the thinking is that Villaraigosa, as the former mayor of Los Angeles, will do very well in Southern California and also with Latino voters. Gavin Newsom, the expectation is he's going to do very well with Northern California and Bay Area Democrats. Therefore, those two sides kind of cancel each other out, and Villaraigosa would swamp Newsom in the Valley. And the thinking was, you have a lot of Republicans in the Valley. Villaraigosa is going to appeal to them as the lesser of two evils, if you will. And he'll be able to pick up strong Democratic and Latino support in the Valley. So this was definitely their game plan. Thus far, doesn't look like it's working, according to the polls.
Of course, turnout is key in any election, but especially in a midterm primary. This is not known for one of those races that's known for the sexy turnout numbers. What are you hearing from people on that as far as June?
So what I'm looking at is if, you know, you're a Democrat and you watch MSNBC, you know, you're told about this blue wave and all this activism, and I believe it's going on. But I don't know that it's going to go on for the California primary. And when you look at the PPIC polling, consistently showing that people say they don't know or they know very little about Villaraigosa or Newsom, it doesn't seem like the people are really engaged. Now, there's going to be a flood of television advertising. It's already begun. Maybe people will start paying attention. In California, traditionally, people don't start paying attention until about a week to go. We'll see if that happens this time.
Yeah, and of course, California is going to be a key, or at least is said to be key, for Democrats in their hope to retake the House. The House seats that are up here in California that are competitive, a few of them in our area, although in those cases, anything to really watch for there, Valadao, Denham, Devin Nunes, do they have anything to worry about in the numbers that will come out in June?
So just before we go there, the reason that President Trump endorsed Cox and came out and got involved in this is the goal is to energize California Republicans, give them a reason to go to the polls, and by doing so, help the House GOP candidates in California. So a fairly shrewd strategy. I don't know that President Trump came up with it. More likely, Kevin McCarthy engineered that strategy. But
my man, Kevin.
Yeah, so certainly it was a big surprise last Friday. Here in the Valley, you know, you can look at the Cook Political Report. That shows that Jeff Denham's in a toss-up. Denham's been there before and emerged victorious. I think that's what's motivating Denham and David Valadao on this immigration issue, Joe. We haven't talked about it, but they have bolded against GOP party leadership. They're bucking Kevin McCarthy. They're bucking Paul Ryan, and they're trying to force a vote on four immigration bills. It's called the Queen of the Hill tactic, and basically the way it works, if a Republican can get 24 other Republicans to sign on to a bill and then get enough Democratic support to have more than one, a majority, they're allowed to bring these to a vote. They don't have the 25 Republicans yet, but they've been getting, they're pretty close.
Very interesting, and we will look forward to seeing that on Election Day and how it all turns out. Turning to Alan Autry, he was also front and center after being kind of on the behind the curtains for quite a while.
He was the feeling he might be thinking about running for office again?
Wondering about that. He was front and center when the Temperance Flat funding announcement or lack of funding came out. This was from the California Water Commission spending the money that California voters approved over 4 years ago for the water bond. Temperance Flat did not receive the type of funding that backers had hoped. Looking at that in retrospect, you had two big reservoir projects, Sites Reservoir and Temperance Flat, looking for money. Sites got a good chunk, not enough to build the reservoir itself, but at least a good start. Temperance Flat came way short. Were both of these going to be winners, or was one destined to be coming up short regardless?
So I don't know that they were destined to be losers, because between the two of them, if you split it down the middle and gave each $1.3 billion, throw in federal funding, throw in what the people that would benefit from the project would be required to pay, you can get it built. So what happened is two Bay Area reservoirs being expanded, and they swallowed up, what, about $900 million between the two of them. So that left Sites pitted against Temperance Flat. And Sites, one, has far more political support, bipartisan political support, strong push from the Bay Area. It even has the support of environmental groups. You know, it's an off-river reservoir. Environmentalists like that. And Temperance Flat, so they're in that fight against Sites, and they came out second best.
Going back to Autry, do you think he has his sights on a particular office?
So I think that Congress would appeal to him.
Interesting. Well, we'll watch.
But Congress appeals to a lot of people around here, and, you know, we have many well-known names who are always doing that calculation, and one of the biggest questions that's always asked of me is, when will Jim Costa retire? And I don't have any insight into that.
Is Alan almost too big of a personality to be one of several hundred members of the House?
I don't think so. Well, one, he'd go there and he'd try to make a splash right away, and then party leadership. And right now, I think he's registered as no party preference or some kind of independent. I don't know that you can run as an independent and get to Congress. A Bernie Sanders case is very rare. A Joe Lieberman case is very rare.
Although Autry still does have the name ID and the following here in the Fresno area. Before we go really quick, District 7 Fresno City Council, what should we watch for there? Is that really the race to watch here?
So what's interesting to me is, and Joe, I know you hate this, you know, this name calling, this back and forth, this kind of gutter politics between the Islas camp and the Whalen camp. But they're consuming all the oxygen in this race. And Nelson Esparza, he's kind of the moderate Democrat in this. You know, he's backed by the Perea machine or the Perea political organization. And when is anybody talking about Nelson Esparza right now? But the names in the headlines are Whalen and Islas. And Islas actually used this controversy about her last name to fundraise. So while she's saying, you know, Brian Whalen needs to apologize to me, I don't think so. I think she wants to keep the controversy going.
That's a familiar tactic that many politicians use. Bill McEwen, GV Wire, thanks so much for joining us as we look forward to the upcoming election.
Thanks for having me on today, Joe.